Amen. How many know the Lord gave us wings, huh? I know Dory was about ready to fly back there. We're not ready to let you go yet, sweetheart. But welcome to Living Springs Wesleyan Church on the Lord's Day, the great day of our Savior. It's good to see everybody. We're going to pray in a second. We need to pray for Mo today. She's ill and has been fighting something throughout the week, so please keep her in prayer. And also, Mark and Tracy Kohanek had a house fire, so they need prayer for a new place to live. And then Jerry and Ken's brother passed away, and so they're requesting prayer for the family, of course. How many are glad the Lord is the comforter? Isn't he wonderful? Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning because, as Peter said, Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone has the words of eternal life. Lord, anywhere else is simply not sufficient. But we thank you today, Lord God, that you're alive and that you love us. And Lord, that your passion is for your people, Lord God, and you proved it over and over and over again. And now in this time this morning, Lord Jesus, would you nudge our souls that, Lord, you are continuing the work that you have begun. Our Father, we pray for those that could not be here today. There are those traveling. There are those, Lord, gone for other reasons. We pray for Mo this morning that you would raise her up out of the bed of affliction, Lord, and encourage her soul, Lord, as she spends time getting well. We ask, Lord Jesus, for Mark and Tracy, that you would provide for them, Lord, in the situation with their home and their life. And Lord God, that you would be, Lord, that very real present help in the day of trouble. Lord God, and of course our hearts for this morning, for Jerry and Kenny's brother, Lord, as he's passed, we know he's with you. Lord, that is the joy and the rejoicing of our hearts. But Lord, there are those who mourn, and we pray that you would comfort them. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that out of all of the circumstance, that people would be reminded, Lord God, that life is a vapor, and it is who we know that makes all the eternal difference in the world. And so, Father, we pray that you would touch them today by your wonderful hand. We thank you, Lord, for this time together. And I pray, Lord, your anointing and your fingerprints, Lord, to be evident in this service. Lord Jesus, for we raise ours to you, and we thank you, Lord, for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can look at the announcements at any time during the service except for the message. Thank you. Kidding. I'm only going to highlight on the 26th of May, that Wednesday night, will be the annual church conference, the election of church officers, and the adoption of the fiscal budget. Then this Wednesday night, for the prayer service and the teaching time, I'm going to be teaching out of Philippians chapter 2, the kenosis of Jesus Christ, the self-emptying of the Lord. How many know that what the Lord empties, he fills? You're better off in his hands, I guarantee you, even if it's an empty moment. So we're going to study that great, great portion, which I love. So now, because the Lord emptied and filled us with his love, we're going to display it. Please stand and greet each other.
USA.
Praise to the Lord more often.
Our Father, we surely underestimate the name of the living, risen Son of God, the personal name of Jesus Christ that makes the demons shudder and makes heaven stand at attention. Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, through your word and through your presence, that your power would rise up in this place and break any stronghold, and bring forth the glory of the living God into living springs. Father, I thank you, Lord, for it, and pray, Lord Jesus, your blessing upon this is your word. Lord Jesus, may we honor it, and may we cherish it. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Today is Norman Fay's anniversary, and we want to wish them well. We know that they have so much going on in their life. How many love Norman Fay? But, and I have asked Norm to come up and to read the portion of scripture this morning in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, 25th verse to the 31st. This is a portion of scripture in this whole portion where it's really referring to when the Jews have come back from captivity. So they have freedom on their mind. If you came out of captivity, you'd have freedom on your mind too. That is what it's about. And so as Norm comes, I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word.
For whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number, who calls them by all by name, by the greatness of his might and by the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known and have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
You may be seated. I'm going to ask David to put a frame up there. This week, probably some of you also got this email from Jan Kunze. I thought it was interesting. The whole idea of a number of the pictures was how ironic it is. And here we have a school for aviation, and right next to it, we have a plane crashed into a tree. I'm sure that's probably not the type of advertising they were looking for, I would guess. Certainly wouldn't be my idea of it. And if you were in that plane, you could have been hurt, correct? It is ironic. I remember October 29th or 25th, 1999, I was at work, and I remember hearing on the news that there was a plane headed for the Midwest. The problem with the plane is they could not make contact with the pilot. They didn't know what was happening on board. Ultimately, this plane went 1,500 miles on autopilot, probably, because the pilot, the crew, and the passengers aboard this flight were unconscious or by that time dead. They were supposed to go to Texas from Florida. That was the flight plan. And because of probable low cabin pressure, they became unconscious. And the pilot, who I'm sure was very capable, went with them. And I do remember, because they were talking about how they had to have a couple of military jets accompany them in the event they had to shoot it down in case that plane came to a populated area in the Midwest and it kept coming toward Minnesota. Now, I had also heard that that plane was owned by a very colorful golfer, if any of you remember Payne Stewart. He was aboard. All the money in the world didn't change what happened in that plane. And I read, when that plane went down, and it went down 10 feet into a field in South Dakota, and it's still there, it went with over 100 times the force of gravity and nosedived right down into the soil and became Payne Stewart and the others aboard their final resting place. Now, I would imagine that Payne Stewart would have hired the most excellent pilot. And I'm sure that he had all the capability and the facilities able to do what he should have been able to do. But obviously, something malfunctioned that nobody was aware of. And there's no pilot, and there's no person on this earth that can absolutely, totally control every circumstance that may happen around them or on that flight. You just don't always know. So, we're on an airplane in a sense, as a Christian. Bible says we have a walk, we walk, it says we are running, and it also says we're flying. Now, who do you want to be your pilot?
Jesus.
Exactly. Here's the reason. Well, there's a couple reasons. The first one is you want a pilot who not only knows all the weather patterns, but created the weather. Okay? Then you want a pilot who created the mind that built the airplane and knows what to do. This is what we want. This is who we have in the great chapter of Isaiah. We have a pilot extraordinaire. Now, I don't know if there's a lot of airplanes that have people that come up to the pilot and complain. You're not going fast enough. You didn't do it this way. I think most people sit in their seat and they're just glad to be airborne and to be safe. And yet, I'll bet if I polled this audience, on many occasions, we spend a good amount of our time telling God, do it this way, do it that way. And we don't have all the sense of what's happening around, do we? We need to trust the pilot extraordinaire. One of the things I love the most about him is he doesn't fall asleep. He doesn't get weary, the Bible says. And this word weary here means to be exhausted from toil or exertion. Did you think that God took a day of rest because he was pooped out? He took a day of rest to enjoy the creation he made. He was not tired. I mean, he would have went in and said, oh, I was so weary, especially that six-day making man, I'll tell you. He didn't do that. He's not exhausted. He's not weary. And he doesn't fall asleep on the job. In fact, a lot of time, not a lot, but occasionally when I can't sleep, so I'm sitting there, my mind is rolling, and I say, Lord, Psalm 121:4 says this, you never sleep and you never slumber. You're awake anyway. So will you take care of what's on my mind so I can sleep? You want somebody absolutely not distracted, somebody totally in control. And who we have here is the everlasting God. How many are glad he didn't send a representative? Okay. We hear and we see this where he's talking. I love this. Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, is the pilot? I mean, really. The creator is Elohim. This is the one, by the way, for any of you that are interested in that, the last two letters, I am, in the Hebrew, are plural. This is talking about the Trinity in the creation of the earth. They're always working together. Aren't you glad? I mean, do you think the Holy Spirit's over in one corner going, oh, I'll talk to the Father later? No. They're working in total unity, total union. And we have here not only the Creator, we have the personal name of God, Yahweh. That's the name he gave to his people. Isn't it wonderful that he gave it to us? That's fabulous. So the truth is, if your flight starts to tip a couple times, if you walk over and or fly over into a wall, not God's fault. He is never the problem. As a matter of fact, if we find ourselves in trouble, one of the reasons could be that we took God out of the seat. You know, God's a gentleman, and if you do not want him in the control of your life, he will step out. That's a dangerous place to be in, I think. But a lot of people do that. Anybody that's going to fly has to have all their capabilities, right? And I remember also in 1999, a very famous story of a young man who had the whole world at his feet, but he had a broken foot. And his passengers that were coming with him were late, and they delayed him. He was not instrument rated. He could fly by sight, but darkness was coming. And on top of everything, he reads the weather report, and in this particular case, it wasn't updated. It didn't tell him fog is coming. He didn't know everything. And so on that night in July, John Kennedy Jr. went into a death spiral and plunged into the Atlantic Ocean. not far from the home of his beloved mother. He didn't have all the details. He needed a different pilot that day, I think. Wish he would have done that. Dave is going to so graciously put another frame up there for me. I want you to understand that as we fly forward, as individuals and as a church, there are four fundamental forces in flight that are important to keep in mind. And I'm going to keep this up here just so you can see what it means as we go along. The first two, because each one balances, two of them balance and the other two balance so that you can be airborne. What we're going to do is talk about thrust first. That's your first one going in that direction. That is the power of the engine. How many know that God balanced the stars and he balanced the earth is on its axis? And even us as we stand, you know your balance is in your ear, your inner ear? That's another sermon, hearing from God. That's what keeps us balanced. But nonetheless, thrust is the first one here. It's created by the airplane's engine or propeller, and it's the power. Aren't you glad God gives you power first? We would never come out of the depth of hell without the power of God. Absolutely. I'll tell you, I didn't get saved from my wisdom, I can tell you that much. God blew me right out of that hole and gave me his word. Thank God it has sustained me all these years. And it says God gives power to the weary. Now remember, they've just come out of captivity, so they are weary. You ever been in captivity? You understand that very much. And what you need here is you need some fuel. Isn't that right? Now, what if a plane was only fueled once? How would that work? Got to refuel, don't you? Keep that power activated. 1997, a man named Henry John Duchendorf, Jr., took a plane up in Southern California. Now, this kills me. He had 30 minutes of orientation the day before to learn how to fly. 30 minutes. And he didn't refuel when they came back the next day for him to fly. And on top of it, when I was reading, he couldn't quite reach the fuel selector handle. And of course, he went up, boom, he came back down. And like the song he wrote, he was leaving on a jet plane, but he never came back again. That was John Denver. There are people that feel he was committing suicide because he went up without fuel. I don't know, we can't ask him. But I know one thing, we need fuel. We need to be refueled all the time because we exert energy in this world. And on top of it, that thrust and that power, because when you got saved, the resurrection power of Christ is in you. Do you know how powerful that is? We are not able to control power like that. God has to put balances in place for us to be able to survive. Because I know that there are people through the years that have taken that power and blown forward, and all they did was go right into a wall. Because there was nothing checked. There was nothing carefully taken care of. Remember Simon, the magician in the New Testament, who wanted to buy the Holy Spirit? He wanted to contain that power. And I got news for you. That power is like fire. You can't hold it. And it doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord God Almighty. It is his power. It must be dealt with carefully. But it has to be balanced. And that's why this imagery is up here. So we need thrust. Without power, you go nowhere. You're just going to be sitting there eating your sandwich. You want to go forward. Then there's another component. and it's called drag. And that would be the exact opposite, drag. Now you might say, oh, ain't that a drag? That's not what we're talking about. This is resistance that is created when air flows around the plane. And my nephew, who is in the University of North Dakota in the aviation, he belongs now to the Army, so we salute him every day. But he told me that when you increase speed, your drag increases by 4 times. So as you accelerate in your Christian life, guess what happens? There's some resistance out there. And it has to be that way, because otherwise that power will go unchecked. And it has to come in, and it has to be drawn back in so it balances. We have to have it. We don't like it, but we have to have it. It's kind of like the pearl. You know how a pearl is created? Irritations in the sand come into that shell and create luster, which forms around a pearl and becomes a beautiful, beautiful gem. I don't think the process is particularly fun, but I believe the outcome is lovely. But here we have resistance. And the scripture talks about the enemy as the prince of the power of the air. Do you think he's out there trying to keep you back from going forward? Are you kidding? That's all he's got to do. Remember, he's destroyed, he's finished, and he knows it. The only thing he has to do, he doesn't even have to bother the world because they're already lost, so he comes after Christians. Bible-believing, sold-out, power-filled Christians. That's who he wants to come after. He doesn't waste his time on other people. And he wants resistance. But, again, I love the scripture because it's like with Joseph. What did the scripture say? What the devil meant for harm, God made for good. Even the things the enemy tries to do to resist us and resist God's call in our life, God will use it to bring us to our desired place. You think God is going to be under anyone else's control? No. So when you feel resistance, a little part of your soul should rejoice. Say, Lord, you're taking me forward. I guess I'm pulling up steam here. We're going somewhere. That's important. Now, the next one is the vertical. And that's extremely important because you can balance here, but if you don't have lift, you're going to end up in that tree. And I don't know about you, but it ain't a good look. You want to have lift. This is the vertical. This is the flight. And this is created and generated as a result of the special shape of the wings. On the top of the wings, they're curved. So the air flows faster over them and provides the lift. So in this portion of scripture, one of the best portions, I love this, where it says in the 31st verse, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. New strength. The word wait, by the way, in the Hebrew, it doesn't have the idea of sitting here waiting for someone to walk in the door. If that's what you think of waiting for God, you're going to be waiting and watching your clock forever. That's not what it means. What it means is, it means to twist and to stretch a cord. And it means that pilot, the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the world, we are to be wrapped around in a relationship with him. Not just sit there waiting to see what he's doing. He wants to be totally enveloped in our life. And be bound together. It means a cord that's bound together. The other part of the word I like is being stretched. How many have ever been stretched beyond what you think you can do? You know, what God does, and usually he stretches us first, and then he shows us he already gave us the ability to meet that need, but we don't know it yet. We don't know it until we're stretched. But it's imperative when we're bound with God. God doesn't want us over in the other corner and he's in this side. We're not in a boxing match. He wants us bound, secured, when we wait upon him. And the imagery here is the eagle. Now, when an eagle's about 30 years, they have a renewal process. And you won't like this part, because I don't think I've ever seen anyone here do this. But they claw out their face, and they tear out the feathers that are damaged. They get rid of everything that has been wounded. Why? So they can get new feathers. And they go up on a very, very high place, and they're on a ledge, and they wait. And here's what they're waiting for. They're waiting for the wind to come. Because when the wind comes, whether it's a storm or just a wind, the wind will lift them up, and they will soar. It'll lift up the wings, and they soar. They don't have to do the flapping. They don't have to exert all the energy. They soar. See, I think in our Christian life, we probably spend a whole lot of time flapping. And not that it isn't fun, but it probably exerts energy and we don't get anywhere. Do you know the storms of life God can use to lift you up? The very thing you are afraid of the most, the very thing that bothers you the most, the Lord can use that to bring you to the place that you wanted to be in the first place. It's only the sovereignty of God that can do that. Lift us up on eagle's wings. Isn't that a great song? We don't like the clawing part, but we do like the fact that God lifts us like an eagle. They have excellent eyesight, by the way. They actually have an extra eyelid that clears off all of their dust so they can see perfectly. I don't know if you'd like two eyelids, but it works for them. So we need to be bound to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as that storm comes, and we wait for what? The wind. Who's the wind? The Holy Spirit. We wait for him to lift us. And we go forward, as only we can do. Now, as anything, there's balance. And the balance here with the lift is the weight. And if you don't have the weight in an airplane, you just keep going up. There'd be no order. There'd be no forward motion. It would just be chaos. It needs to be balanced. We need to have weight. Now, everything that's on that airplane is part of the weight. Can you envision yourself being just in an airplane and saying to God, well, this ain't really a problem. I'm just going to tuck it in this closet over here and hide it. No one will ever see it. Do you know that the things we hide are still a part of the weight of our life? I don't care if they're 30, 40, 50 years old. We need to get rid of it. Because if your weight exceeds your lift, you're going down. And the pull of this world is hard enough. But again, here's the thing. You got to ask the Lord, what is it? What is in me that is holding me down? What in me is keeping the balance off? Don't go look for it yourself. We get in trouble when we do our own managing. Let the Holy Spirit tell you and show you maybe what stuff you've stuck in a closet someplace, because it will affect the flight, most certainly. And here's something else that I think is extremely important. God does not allow carry-on luggage. And we're sneaking stuff aboard all the time. Everything we need, God has. He is everything we need. We don't need to help him at all. And I also know he really doesn't like the carry-ons. Because if you have sin, known sin, unforgiven, unforsaken sin, if you have unforgiveness, if you have resentment and you have bitterness that wells up in your soul, that's going to weigh you all the way down and you're not going to get off the ground. Don't take it aboard, folks. Jesus died for it. That's why he bore the weight of our sin. That's exactly why. But you will find it in your life. If you're having a hard time getting lifted, if you're having a hard time going up, seeing the Lordship of Christ, it could be that it's too heavy in your soul. and something is bearing you down. And believe me, they're good at hiding. They're really good at hiding. That's why we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he knows exactly what's there. I was reading this article about a true story. Actually, it isn't that long ago. Gentleman had a kit-built single-engine plane, and it was gliding in South Carolina on Hilton Head Island. And there was a gentleman walking along the beach, was just had his stuff plugged in his ears, and he's just not paying attention. He's enjoying everything. Well, one of the propeller fell off, and some oil and all the stuff was all over the front, and the pilot couldn't see. And this man walking on the beach didn't hear anything, didn't know to look up, didn't know there was tragedy in his near future. And that plane hit him and killed him. I want to remind you that the spiritual life of the believer is not a carnal venture. That the Church of Jesus Christ is not a physical manifestation alone. It is a supernatural entity that is to be handled by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And whenever we try to do homemade brews and try to figure it out ourselves and try to do it in our own works, the only thing that happens is we get weary and the young men fall. And you'd think at that age, the young men would be at their strength. That'd be like Zach falling. We would never anticipate that. Unless someone's pushing him, maybe. And we hope that don't happen. It's a dangerous thing to be your own pilot. It's a dangerous thing to try to do the things of God in the natural. It cannot be done. We have enough difficulty with the enemy on our own, much less we help him out at all. So we need to be balanced. We need to have the power that sends us forward. We need to have the drag that takes us back. Every now and then it's good for the Lord to hold us back from our ideas and our plans. Because, you know, we might be walking in the wrong way. Even if it's a good thing, it could maybe not be God's will. And he balances it, and then he lifts us and keeps enough weight to keep it all together. You know what that weight should be? It should be our recollection that I'm but dust, and that this is where I came from, and Jesus saved me. Never forget where you come from, folks. Just keep in mind where you're going. We need to keep a balance and not have any one of them be out of control. Now, I want you to look at this diagram, and just in your mind, because I wasn't going to bother Dave for a third frame, I'll save that for another time. Take a line in your mind and go from lift and go down to weight and draw a line. And then go from thrust and horizontally put a line. You know what your airplane is? The cross. That is the only airplane that's going to get you there. We need to stay at the cross. We absolutely need to. He lifted us up where nobody else could. And if there was anyone who got resistance, it was Jesus Christ. And if there's anyone that bore the weight of our sin, it was him. Aren't you glad? Those who wait for the Lord, that have a deep, meaningful, connected relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, will gain new strength. New strength. Something renewed. That means new again. They will mount up with wings like eagles and run and not get tired. And walk and not lose their energy. It's better than one of those energy bars, I can tell you that. Aren't you glad the Lord is everything that we need? Bow your heads, please. I don't know where you're at in your life today, but God knows. And maybe you're here today and you'd say, first of all, I think I've been in the driver's seat. And I really want to relinquish that to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want him to be my pilot. He knows what's happening out there. He knows how to bring me to where I need to be. I am not capable to do it. And you'd say with an upraised hand, Lord, I really want to put you back in the seat. I absolutely want to. Raise your hand so I know that you're here. Okay, many hands going up. And maybe you're here and you'd say, you know, I'm one of those people that when I get a power surge, I just want to fly forward. And I just go without thinking, and sometimes I don't even notice the friction that's around me because I've got my mind on it. You need to be tempered with the things of the world that God has put there to keep you in balance, because God should be in control. And you'd say, pray for me because I'm kind of one of those that might plow into a wall, and I really don't want to. And you'd say, pray for me, and you raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're here. Then you'd say, you know, I've had a lot of resistance, and I'm almost ready to give up. I'm not sure it's worth going forward. I can feel the wind blow at me and accelerate, and I'm so discouraged. If you're here especially, we want to keep you in prayer because we want you to go forward. If you're here, raise your hand. Okay. And then you're here, you'd say, you know, I'm so weighted down, I don't know if I'll ever get up. I don't really know what's in my life, but something is keeping me down. Something is bogging my soul. And I want the Lord to reveal it to me so I can forsake it. If it's sin, if it's guilt, if it's unforgiveness, or whatever it is, let God tell you. And I want to be released from it so I can rise. And you'd say, pray for me. And you raise your hand. Okay. Our Heavenly Father, you see every hand and you see every heart. And oh God, how you want to balance us so we can go forward and fly for you. And that eagle that is a very clean bird does not like to fly low, wants to be free. Just like the Jews out of their captivity, Lord, today we want to be free to fly and to go forward for Jesus Christ. And I pray that any impediment, any sin, any unforgiveness, anything, Lord, that may be in the life of anyone here, those that have raised their hands and even those, Lord, that maybe are not aware of it, that you would reveal it, but reveal it in mercy and through the blood of Christ, and let them let it go. Throw that out of the airplane. It's not going to help their flight. I pray for those today that are ready to give up because the resistance is just too strong. Father, the one thing we can count on is that resistance is not too strong for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would grant them hope today, Lord, that they are going forward, that you want to bring them forward, and that as the pilot, you will bring them to the place that you want them to be. Father, I ask in Jesus' name for all of the things, Lord, that we need from you and so much more. I pray that you would show us and that we would follow that cross, Lord, and follow you every day of our life. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. May, Lord, we mount up with wings as eagles. May we, in your hands, glorify your name. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we sing this last song, if you want to spend a little time with the Lord at the altar, please feel free to do so. Higher Ground. Please stand.
Lift me up and let me stand, my faith on. a gleam of glory bright, but still I pray to have not found. Lord, lift me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's stable land, a higher claim.
Amen. And when he does that, you'll be in his hands. It's great to see Dwight today. You all remember him. You can wave yourself right up here. I would like you to close in prayer.
Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for the beauty of your creation, that we could gather here together, and that we could find our strength in you, that you alone, O Lord, lift us up out of the depths by the glory of your Son, Jesus, who has saved us through his faithfulness to you in his death on the cross and in his resurrection. And now, Lord, I pray that you would send us out with this love of Christ to love and serve one another, and to show the world your greatness. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.